The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program is Rick Petrie of the Eldora Newspapers and Dennis Morris of KLEM Radio in Lamar. Rick, you can start us off with your questions for Senator Grassley.
Well, there's a lot of stuff going on in Washington. It's kind of hard to keep up with the news. And I guess to begin with, this morning there was kind of no announcement out of the Supreme Court in regard to this Dreamers program. And I just wondered if you could kind of give me an assessment of where you feel things stand and with the whole immigration question in general.
Well, as far as I know, we're still going to continue through both the House and Senate, but in separate buckets, an effort to find a compromise on this for the reason that previous courts have said President originally Obama, now Bush presumptively, don't have the authority to do what they did legalizing these kids that technically are only illegal because their parents brought them here. So we don't attribute the crime of their parents to the kids. So that's why I say it's not amnesty. But anyway, now these latest two courts have said that in a roundabout way, they said that what Trump did was against the law, and consequently then that almost informs you that Obama must have been correct when he did this back in 2012, even though 20 sometimes before 2012 he said he didn't have the authority to do it. So as long as these court cases hold, presumably, and that would be until they're overturned by a court of appeals, which is on appeal to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, or the Supreme Court finalizes it one way or the other. So as long as that court process is going on and no court has overruled the two lower courts, then those kids are going to be presumed legal. Congress ought to act anyway, but I think the pressure's off to act until the court rules now. So maybe the efforts that are necessary in the Senate to get a bipartisan cooperation may be just waylaid for a while. So that's where I think we are, even though at this point, now maybe next week I'll tell you differently, at this point we're going to continue to try to find bipartisan compromises to get the DACA kids legalized, to get border security, to get family-related immigration eliminated except for nuclear family, and to get rid of the diversity lottery visa. Those are the four pillars of what we're trying to accomplish.
And one other item that just caught my eye in the news, apparently the president and the president of Mexico had a conversation that didn't end too well, and there's been other things in the news here recently that have to do with trade in general. You know, what's your feeling? Where do things stand, particularly when you, from the context of farming?
Well, what little bit I know about the Mexican president canceling out is he was asking the president to reverse his campaign promise that Mexico was going to pay for the wall. Now, I think it's impractical to think that we can force Mexico to pay for the wall, but it's maybe unrealistic for the president of Mexico to say that President Trump's given up on that. There is problems with the negotiations of NAFTA, but they could be proceeding fairly well, and I wouldn't know it because negotiations are secret between two countries until there's a final agreement reached. 10-12 of us on the Finance Committee were down to meet with President Trump maybe now two or two and a half weeks ago, and we discussed the real detrimental impact pulling out of NAFTA would have for agriculture. I think he knows it, but he also has to act tough, like pulling out, because he feels like he doesn't have any leverage in the negotiations if he doesn't live by his threat.
And another issue that's been kind of a running thing is the investigation in the Russian involvement in the last election. Regardless of how that comes out, is there anything being undertaken at this time to kind of preclude something similar happening again?
I think it's all money. I've reviewed several people's opinion of what it takes, and I think it's money to help states make sure that their election system can't be hacked. Now, that's from the standpoint of actual changing votes in an election, or maybe making people ineligible to vote that are on the list and maybe would be taken off the list. That very dramatically would affect the outcome of an election. Now, what they do about disinformation within our free market system of news and everything that isn't national security can be published, I suppose they can still attempt to influence it, with the exception of whatever Facebook and Twitter and YouTube can do if they know about the use of it, and I think they're getting smart about the use of it, whatever they can do to prevent. I would say that they were probably caught off guard, and maybe as long as it was bringing in a lot of money, they didn't care about being caught off, as long as it was making them money, and they didn't have any way of knowing that the Russians were abusing the system and misusing it, then you could say they maybe were innocent participants in Russia's disinformation campaign. But if the extent to which they police their system, that will help. But I don't know whether you're going to fully protect us from any disinformation. In fact, within the weekend, there was an article on what Sweden is trying to do to keep Russians from interfering with their election, as one example. I better stop answering there. We got time for one more question.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess this is probably the question everybody asks you, but is there any kind of common ground or place that could be common ground on the gun issue?
Yeah, I think bump stocks, getting the FBI list with everybody who's a felon, everybody who has domestic abuse, everybody who has mental illness into the system. Look at what happened at the Baptist Church in Texas. That guy should have been in the system, couldn't buy a gun, but the U.S. Air Force didn't report his name after they kicked him out of the military. And then mental health, it isn't just getting the name into the system. It's the sensitivity before you get the name in the system of talking about it. You got reason to believe Joe Blow shouldn't be buying a gun, then making a determination that meets due process and is done in a professional way, presumably a psychologist or psychiatrist, or some sort of other evidence that you can give to a judge to say they shouldn't buy a gun, then that's an extra problem with mental health. But I think those two three things can be done right now.
Okay.
Let me name at least one more. Five states have what they call a red flag law. That red flag law would say if you can own a gun, but all of a sudden you become very erratic about what you're threatening to do with that gun, you become a harm to yourself or harm to somebody else, then that gun through a judicial process can be taken away from you forever or for a temporary period of time.
Mm-hmm. All right, visiting with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. And Senator, just today it was reported by the U.S. World Report that Iowa ranked as the number one state in the nation, ranking its with health care, education, overall employment opportunities, and just general I guess we want to say benefits of life, I guess, if you will. But I just wanted to hear your comments about it. Governor Kim Reynolds appeared on CBS News this morning to kind of talk about it. But your thoughts about the fact that Iowa has been now ranked as number one state in the nation by U.S. World Report.
Well, it doesn't surprise me because I'm 84 years old, so obviously I've seen a lot of decades of Iowans. And almost every one of those decades, I've been proud to say I'm an Iowan. And there's two things that I would say about Iowa if I could put two words on our license plate. I would put on quality and productivity. I think the quality of our workforce and the productivity of our workforce is what contributes to Iowa being number one in all those areas that you just stated.
All right. And, Senator, as you know, since the shootings that occurred down in Florida, and I guess it's just maybe another, if you want to say, straw on a camel's back, because we've had so many mass shootings lately, and obviously the general public is looking to Congress and the Senate and the U.S. government to do something, you know. And although gun control may not be the entire answer, I know that you've had several town hall meetings. This has been a controversial topic, I guess, or it's been a topic of people have really been an emotional topic. So I wanted to hear your thoughts about what can be done in terms of hoping to reduce this mass shootings that we've been having.
Well, obviously, massacres of young people is a tragedy. It's a tragedy when you think that we have gun-free zones around schools as a matter of federal law, and that when you send your kids to school in the morning, you think, where could they be any safer than being in schools? And then this happens. And I think that it gives us an opportunity for the first time since 2013 to have a lot of these discussions. And I think I can name two or three things, maybe even four things, that can be done, ought to be done pretty easily as long as people want to get some things done and get them done quickly. One would be banning bump stocks so that a rifle can't be treated like used like a submachine gun, which has been illegal since the 1930s. Secondly, would be to make sure that the FBI database that goes by the acronym NICS, fix it so that the states that and localities that aren't reporting felons and domestic abusers that ought to be in the data bank because the law says that they shouldn't have guns. The same way with the Air Force not reporting a felony, they kicked out of the Air Force. They killed 22 people at the Baptist Church in Texas. His name should have been in there, and he shouldn't be able to get a gun. And then thirdly, there's a bill developing by Senator Hatch and Senator Klobuchar, a bipartisan bill, and I intend to join as a co-sponsor, that would be that would give grants to schools to help identify or train teachers to identify kids that would be at risk because of problems like this guy in Florida had. And also, we would call that the Stop Violence in Our Schools would be the name of that bill. And then maybe lastly, what you call red flag laws, where if and five states have these red flag laws already, so I'm talking about considering such an idea at the federal level, where if you legally have a gun, but after you got the gun legally, you were a threat to yourself or a threat to family and society generally, somebody, a friend or a family could turn you in, and you'd have a judicial process, but you could lose your gun for the reason that you're a threat. Those are some things that I think we could consider right now.
All right. If I may, just to follow up on that, and maybe just a quick brief description, does this nation have a mental health issue, or is it more of a gun issue?
More of a mental health issue, because people that have been determined to be a danger because of their mental health, and not everybody that has mental health issues. So it's the dangerousness of some people, not all people of mental illness, that ought to be in the data bank and can't buy guns. So that's got to be a big part of it, and that deals with more than just getting their name in. We don't have adequate mental health professionals like psychologists and psychiatrists is one example.
Right. Senator, if you've got time, I'd like to ask just one more question.
I've got time for one more question.
All right. And it deals with Bill Northey, of course. And what was it, back in September, October, was when Bill Northey had his hearing at the Senate Ag Committee, was overwhelmingly approved. And now we're still waiting for Texas Senator Ted Cruz to hopefully move off this. But here's my question. It kind of puts Bill Northey in an awkward position, because in mid-March, as you know, is when people have to file for their intentions to become a candidate for state office. So does he hold off and wait for people in Washington, although it's already been several months? Or does he go back and say, I'd like to refile and put my papers in nomination to become Iowa Secretary of Agriculture again?
I think on the last, I'll answer your question in another way. On that specific point you're asking about, does he hold out to get here and then lose the chance to run for Secretary of Agriculture again in Iowa? I think
right.
I better let him answer that question. But I think in recent 3 or 4 days, but I always hesitate to say this because we've been disappointed before, but in the recent 3 or 4 days, we've heard that there's a chance his nomination could be moving ahead. And I hope I'm right on that, because I've been so hopeful in the past and been disappointed in the past.
Okay. Thank you, Senator. I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Rick and Dennis, for participating in today's public affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.